Well, good morning.
Wow, what a welcome. Thank you for all that you said. Now I feel a little nervous. I don't know how much of it is true, so that's for these people to decide after I finish. I had a very warm welcome. Jill welcomed me. She says she likes my shirt. And there was a pregnant pause, and then said, it matches your hair. So I was just wondering, oh my goodness. And then I was listening to Craig say, these are the ladies that brought me from A to B. And I'm thinking, how many more ladies would he need from going from B to Z? And I'm sure there will be a lot more. You're a good man. You're so humble that you didn't say from A to Z these ladies brought me, but you were on the journey. So that was so refreshing to hear. And also to see the pleasure of God on these dear people who have served and served without expectations, served without, you know, any reservations. It's a thankless job often. So I just thought I'll say that. Today I'm going to be speaking this whole, I know it's a common theme that's going on. I don't know what I did to this, but I'm not computer savvy. You know, the last 2 years has been a very difficult journey for many of us. Many of us have gone through some difficult times or times where you had no answers or times where you feel, does God really exist? Sometimes we have those thoughts, especially for me, this last year was very difficult. And I just wanted to bring a word of encouragement, which is very rare that I do that. Usually I say something that provokes somebody and they get upset and they leave church. So today I'm going to say something nice so that you'll still remain. Are you with me? So, how do you cope during such times that we go through? How do we do that? And I was thinking about it because I am afraid of Craig because he is so deep in the word and he is a teacher and I'm a preacher. I just have 3 points and I just blow such hot air into it and make it look huge. But every 1 point of his can be a sermon in itself. So I just had to think about this, and I want to read from Genesis chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. So let me read that for us. This is a difficult situation. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roi. I'll explain what that is. And now the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. Now, this is a funeral service going on. And after Sarah passed away, Abraham married again. He married another lady called Keturah. And he had several sons from Keturah. And usually, culturally speaking, in those days, the ones that bury are the sons would come to bury the father. But there was only two who buried him. That was Isaac and Ishmael. The rest of the other sons were just watching. They didn't come to actually bury the father. Now, the reason, the culture, why did the other brothers stay and Ishmael come? First of all, they have to be reconciled. They have to have peace between each other to bury somebody in their family. That was one of the cultural norms. It's not written anywhere, but that's a practice, the practice of life. So Ishmael and Isaac had reconciled at the funeral. Here it says, then he went after the funeral to live in Beer, the way it's written here, Beer Lahoi Roe, where it was a well, and Isaac often used to go there whenever he went through difficult times. Literally, that word means God who sees me. And in our difficult times, sometimes we feel like God is not seeing us. Or you think that God is seeing somebody else. Is somebody listening to me? But the reality was that it was not the well that he had met God there. So I have to put a pause button here and go to some history. It was actually in Genesis 16, you'll find that what happened here is it was Sarah who decided, let me have a son through this lady, Hagar. And so Abraham bore Ishmael. Are you with me here so far? And as soon as Hagar had a child in her, she was with child, as they would say. And this is the scripture that I want to read first and then go somewhere else. And then I'll start preaching. Then Sarah, the Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave to her husband. This was Sarah's idea. So it was not Abraham's initiative. And she thought she would do God some favor. And Abraham went into her, and Hagar conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her sight. So what had happened here is Hagar started to despise her mistress. So the contention began not from Sarah's side, but from Hagar's side. Are you with me? And, you know, it started to hurt Sarah. The words that, or her actions started to hurt Sarah. You know, some Christians can be really mean. I don't know if you know some Christians like that. They can be very mean and hurtful. And in the difficult season that we are in the last 2 years, we have some Christians that speak some hurtful things, and sometimes not even directly, but we hear from somebody that so-and-so did say this, and it affects us. Is somebody listening to me? And it's possible some of you had gone through a journey where you've heard some hurtful things. I can understand if it's somebody outside of the church. I mean, someone in the world, in your workplace, we can cope with that. But someone of your own household, someone from within here, that you hear stuff, and it hurts you. I'm sure every one of us in this room have gone through a season like that where we have been recipient of someone saying some hurtful and mean things. Amen? And so this morning, that is a launched into a spiral. We go into a spiral. And she, Sarah, gets into self-pity. And you know what self-pity does? It's an ignition to anger. And when you get angry because nobody loves me, self-pity says, oh, nobody loves me, not even my mama. I'm all by myself. Where is this? And she couldn't handle this anymore. So she goes to Abraham and says, you know, this lady is getting on my nerves. She really is. And so Abraham says, well, she's your maid, not mine. You can deal with her the way you want. Fine way to pass the buck on. He was not man enough to deal with the situation. He just passes the buck back to her. So what does she do? She goes to Hagar and gives her back. I mean, she levels with her and brings a steamroller and just goes over her. And it was so bad that she couldn't handle it. And so she ran from there. And this is the scripture that I want to read where we see in Genesis 16, verses 6 and 8, and 6 to 8. So Abraham said to Sarah, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now, in verse 7, it says, now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring water in the wilderness by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, this is the angel speaking, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? Now notice, the angel didn't say any name Hagar. There must be about 20,000 Hagars in those days. Are you with me? But he identified her very specifically and says, Hagar, you are Sarah's maid. But see what happens. She immediately turns to him and forgets that the angel had actually identified her. Sometimes when God interrupts and speaks to us, we don't recognize God. We just simply are so overwhelmed with our hurt and the wound that we have received or the season of trouble that we have walked through. And so this is what her response is. Listen, this is amazing. And the angel of the Lord said, return. Wait. Where are you coming from? And where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah. So she's more dealing with the pain and the wound rather than answering this angel in the specific way the angel asked her the question. Many times you and I, when God interrupts us or when God meets us, we go back to God from our pain rather than looking at God who can handle our pain or who can handle our wounds. Are you with me so far? Soon I'll start preaching. Now, just wait a second. So here, there's something that many people ignore, at least many theologians ignore. I'm not a theologian. I want to be a theologian. I want to be. Want to be a theologian? So then the angel said, and the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you're with child, and you shall bear a son. And you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. Now, who named the child here? It was God who named that child Ishmael. Is somebody listening to me? And that child is a representation of God hearing her affliction. Is somebody listening to me? That means that child was a gift to Hagar. And God had his hand of approval upon her. Now, I know many people are going to go back to the scriptures and study it and then recommend to Craig not to invite me anymore because I may be preaching heresy. But no, I've done my homework. God had actually said, this is your, whenever you look at Ishmael, he brings healing to your heart because the Lord has heard your affliction. Wait with me. Whenever you have an affliction, there is an encounter with God. How are we dealing with that encounter with God? Are we still overwhelmed with the lack of finances at home? Are we still dealing with all the misunderstanding and how you want to defend yourself? Or how many different thoughts that goes through your mind to prove yourself you're right? Maybe you're right. Are you with me? And so here he says, then the angel qualifies. He shall be a wild man, and his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, that anyone who touches Ishmael, Ishmael's not going to let that guy go away scot-free. And he shall dwell, and watch this, in the presence of all his brethren. Now, especially in the Greek philosophy, on the Western world, they think Ishmael is the father of Islam. But do you know who's the father of Islam? It's not Ishmael, it's Keturah's sons. Because Ishmael dwelt in peace with Isaac ever since the funeral. Is somebody listening with me? Amen? And now they'll say, well, Ishmael had many, he started many of these Middle Eastern cities. He never did. Those cities already existed even before Isaac was born. Amen? Why am I sharing all this? God knows your history. He was there before you. That you is a plural you, that includes me. So let's go back to the funeral. Back to Isaac. He went to that same, and this is what she says. This is Sarah. Hagar. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. You are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Now, she had a revelatory experience of understanding that God saw me. But not only that, I have an encounter with the God who sees me. What a powerful encounter that was. Are you with me? And here, this is where you and I sometimes mishandle some of those encounters with God. And I want to go there in a second. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahoi Roi, the God who sees me. Isaac could not handle the death of his father. There are some people sitting here. You see something has broken off from you that you wish it didn't. You feel like something is now almost irreversible. You feel like that you've lost some loved one because of some misunderstanding. It's like a death. Are you with me? It's like a death. Some of you literally have experienced some death in the family. And that is a sudden vacuum. When they were alive, you didn't feel that much. But when they are gone, you feel even more. And I'm saying this because of late, I've been thinking of my own father. He died many, many, many years ago, many decades ago. But I didn't feel him so much when he was alive. But it is in this troubled time, this last year, you have no idea how many times my thoughts went to my father and the legacy he has left behind of who he was to me. I'm the only son in the house. When he was alive, I didn't have enough honor or respect. I was a young teenager, young youth who was full of himself, so self-absorbed, didn't hear wisdom coming from my dad. Are you with me? This last year, my mind raged so much. So here is that well that he would often go. This is Isaac. He often would go, the Lord who has seen me. That's the name of that well. And he would go there for comfort. He would go there for some comfort. The well of life. His only consolation after death of his father was keeping his focus on God. And that focus came at that well. Where's your focus? And where is your well? Because, let me say this to you. We need to go to the same place just as Hagar. Have I also seen him who sees me? This is a revelatory experience. So here's my point. When you have a visitation, or when you hear him, name that place. It is a place to go to. Every one of us in this room, when you became a Christian, there's ups and downs in our lives. But you will always know that God had intervened in your life. It's not God intervening only in big names. He intervenes with common people like Hagar. He has intervened in your place. Sometimes it is important for us to pull back and think about those times where we had a revelatory experience that God spoke to me. God spoke to me. When was the last time you visited that memory? Because when you visit that memory, your focus goes back to God. Many times when we walk away from that wonderful encounter, we actually spiral and go into our own self-piteous mode. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. And we have 100 different excuses, and all of them may be legitimate excuses. But when you encounter with God, those excuses no longer exist. Somebody listening to me. It is the place of where you encountered God. When was the last time you remember such a sweet spot? And when you, if you remember, then name that place. Because whenever you go through a difficult time, name that place and go to that place. Amen? I'm speaking from my own emotions. Because I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage New Crossing. I'm not saying that this is a depressive atmosphere. No, not at all. Because God's here. But God wants to revisit you and give you another encounter of who He is to you. He wants to come personally and give you that revelatory experience to say, the God who sees me. Is that something that you can say this morning? The Lord who sees me. If we have that disconnect, then we would say, does God really know where I live? Does God really care about me? Does He understand my pain, my wounds? Does He understand my loneliness? Does He understand why the hurtful things that people have said to me? Does He understand where people have abandoned me? Does He understand that people have said all manner of false? Usually 2% truth and 98% is false. But they make the 2% look like 100%. I'm just thinking here this morning, dearly beloved, that God wants to bring us back to that encounter. God who sees me. Have you ever considered that God is always seeing you? God has never abandoned you. In fact, Jesus said that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's his words, not mine. I didn't even doctor it up. He said it, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This morning, He is here wanting to encourage you. He wants to restore back that son-father-mother relationship, your own children. For some of us, we have that disconnect. For some of us, we have disconnects even in our own marriages. And I'll be honest, during the season of my wife's sickness, I even had a temporal moment of disconnect with my wife because I was so fully absorbed with self-pity because I'm the only caregiver and I'm thinking, God, can you see me? I'm the only one taking care of my wife. Where is her sister? Where is her brother? Where is somebody that would come and give me a moment of respite? I was so filled with that. Yes, I was doing my husband's duty, but it was a duty, not a pleasure to serve her in sickness and in health. And I had to come to this resolve that God said to me, son, you are spiraling down. Go to the place I met you. Go to the place I met you. For you will see me as I see you. You will see me as I see you. How many of us this morning feel like, God, I want you to see me as I see you? That's what Hagar said. And that's what she named that well, the Lord who sees me. Amen. Today, the worship, almost every song we sang went right back to that focus. You're so, so good. You're so good. God is so good. And I was sitting there and said, how wonderful it is that whatever God had laid in my heart reflects the exact worship time. If only only you spent few moments listening to the song. I mean, singing was good. But when we sing, do we listen to the song to have that encounter with the God who sees me? God reminds us so many times about how good he is. And when we don't see that, that's a disconnect from the goodness of God. Because the enemy's idea is to disconnect us from the goodness of God. And that reconnect takes place when we go to that place. The place where we had met Jesus. It's not difficult to remember some of the kind things that God had done for you. It's not difficult. We forget where God had met us, and then we journeyed on our own with our own, you know, we are very good in leaning onto our own understanding, our rationale and logic, and we come up with our own wisdom rather than going here and staying here. That intimacy with God. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? I mean, Craig was praying for me in that room, and even if he yells, so I determined I will not yell today. So I said, okay, let me talk like this. I can preach that way, but I just wanted to more chat with us. Amen. God is here. When you have a visitation or when you hear him name that place, it is a place to go. Don't wallow in your self-pity. Pick yourself and go to that well. Remember always what God had spoken to you. It will be a place of solace. I'm saying this at the risk of being misunderstood. Many of you have experienced God in New Crossing. This is a well of solace. During the week, why don't you just drive and come in and sit down? You don't have to talk to anybody. Just take a drive. Come here and say, God, I met you here. I'm not glorifying New Crossings Church, but it is a well where it has encouraged you before, where it has drawn you closer to God. Maybe when you go through such seasons, drive by here. I'll call the pastor and say, I don't want you to counsel me, but can I come to church and sit down here because I want to hear God? I'm not saying he's a bad counselor. Oh, my goodness. We direct traffic to him and Jill to counsel. But that's not what I'm talking about. Many times we think counsel will change us, but God is saying beyond that, come back to that place of that encounter with God. I hope you don't mind me saying that. In this season, church must be the place of solace. Not in the government. Not in who sits in the White House. Not whether people who wear masks or not wear masks. Not people who say vaccine or no vaccine. That's all outward. Come back to the well and let God bring that solace. Because it's not who is the president. Think about God above the president. If we look at a man, it will disappoint us. Either side. I don't care which side you're in. But if you are in that place, because today I have actually gone random to churches that I've never been in weird cities. And do you know what? People are hearing with lenses. Is the pastor speaking from Fox News, or is he speaking from MSNBC or CNN or Newsmax? And they decide, sitting there, oh, he's speaking from this, he's speaking from that. Why don't you just shut up and listen to the Word of God and not look to the lens of what pastor is speaking? Hello? Forgive me for saying shut up. But I wish I meant that. It's time for you, dearly beloved, to stand up and say, no longer will I be determining my course of life through what I hear around me, neither the words that have been harsh and wounded me, but I will come to the well. Okay? I could have gone on like that, but I got passionate there. Beloved, we are living in turbulent times, that's true. We are going through a season of pain, that is true. We are going to a place where the church is divided, that is also true. But if when you come to the well, Isaac and Ishmael are together. It is not whether you're Ishmael or your Isaac side, whether you're Republican or Democrat. It is irrelevant when you come into the house of God. Come on now. Now you're saying, Craig, don't bring this Indian yeller into our church anymore. Dearly beloved, in essence, as I close, it's time to bury and let it go. Whatever's happened in your life, bury it. It's over. It's finished. And if you feel the pain and you need that consolation, come to the well. Because those places where we find that vacuum, come to the well. I feel like my anointing is lifted up. So if I speak anymore, it'll be more human wisdom. So I want to close this way, and I will be here. And this is not about whether I spoke well or not. It's about you and not your neighbor or what they would say about you. If you really want that encounter with God, come to the well right now here. Get up from your chair and come here, and I will pray for you. Not that I'm super anointed. I am just as human as anybody else, if not more sinful than any one of you, saved by the grace of God. Let's pray. And you come on up here. Whoever you are, wherever you are, that you will say, I want to meet God. I want to come here. No compulsion, no nothing. You just want to say, I want to come to the well. I want peace in my heart. You're saying this morning that you're coming to the well because that is the place of your consolation. God wants to console you and say to you, I'm a God that sees you. Every one of you. I don't know where you live, but God does. God has not forsaken nor abandoned you, but he says, I see you. If we have that revelatory experience that he has heard you, God has heard you in your affliction. He has heard you in your affliction. And she says, I now see the God who sees me. Not only that, I now see him. And she named that well. The Lord who sees me. This is that well. This is that well. Dearly beloved, whoever you are at the back, don't feel bad. Because God who sees you sits, he's there where you're sitting. But it's time to reconnect with the goodness of God. So that when we are connected, no matter what the situation is, we'll rise up. Because God is with us. So Father, here are your dearly loved sons and daughters. Would you hear them right now, Lord? Not only hear them, but you would give each one of them a revelatory experience of the God who sees each son and daughter here. So in Jesus' name, I pray, may the veil be torn of their eyes, that they have to work it all by themselves when God is here. Thank you. We praise you. We bless you. I would recommend you still stay where you are. And let's have Karen sing that over us prophetically, so that something will break through and give us a revelation of the goodness and the kindness of God.